In your Bibles tonight, go ahead and go over to 2 Samuel chapter number 14. 2 Samuel chapter number 14. It's an honor to be back here. I'm glad y'all are willing to have me back. I was preaching for Brother Chris Majors down at Grants Creek Baptist Church a little while back, and he said our folks really like having you. I said, well, that's awesome. That was really encouraging. And then he decided to tease with me, and he says, I think they really like having you because you're not long-winded. I was like, thanks, brother. But, you know, I heard a preacher say one time that he was preaching, and he went a little bit over, by a little, I mean a lot, but he went a little bit over time, and he was preaching, and some guy from the back would say, preach on, Pharaoh! He's, I don't know what that meant, but I kept preaching. And then he preached a little bit longer, and the guy in the back started going, preach on, Pharaoh! And I said, I don't know what that guy's talking about, but afterwards, he was standing at the back, shaking hands with everybody, and he caught that guy. He said, hey, what's all that preach on Pharaoh stuff about? He said, well, Pharaoh wouldn't let God's people go either, so that's the best. I'm going to try not to be that long, okay? I thought that was the best preacher joke I'd ever heard, and I said, I'm going to use that in a sermon one day. Here we are. So 2 Samuel chapter number 14. Now, I'm not long-winded. I say what I want to say, but I'm going to preach for you tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 14. If you're willing and able, let's stand and honor God's word just as we read 2 Samuel chapter number 14. We're going to begin reading in verse number 28, 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse number 28. The Bible says, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king, to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore, let me see the king's face, and if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And the king kissed Absalom. Thank you all. You may be seated. Now this passage of scripture here in 2 Samuel chapter number 14, I think it gets overlooked a lot. I think there's a lot of passages of scripture that can get overlooked, but there's so much to learn from it and there's so much to apply from it. And I think the reason why we might overlook a lot of passages of Scripture can be because we aren't quite familiar with the context or the background with it. So I want to just shed some light on the context and the background of this passage. Years ago, this is when David has become king over Jerusalem, he's now had children. He's a bit older in years, he's had his families, and now he has his children. And among those children, he has a son named Amnon. He has a daughter named Tamar, and he has another son named Absalom, who most of us are familiar with. Well, David's son Amnon committed a great sin against his half-sister Tamar, who was also Absalom's sister. And after he commits that great wickedness, that most of us are familiar with that story, after Amnon creates that great wickedness against Tamar, Absalom plans to kill Amnon for that great sin he committed against his sister. So Absalom plots, and for years he waited for his chance until finally he called his servants together and they had a plan to kill Amnon when he was good and drunk. After Absalom kills Amnon, it's found out that this is Absalom's doing. So Absalom runs away to the land of Geshur. And he stays there for 3 years. Till finally, Joab and David are talking, and they allow Absalom to come back into the kingdom. But David says, Absalom, you can come back, but you will not see me anymore. You will not see my face. You don't get to commit murder and come back and be treated like a royal. You will dwell in your house, not mine. You know, I think we can have a debatable conversation about whether that's a good choice or a bad choice on David's part, but I think we can all agree we tend to underestimate the strength of a relationship between a father and a son. It's a very important relationship. Whether you're a father, a stepfather, a grandfather, a godfather, whatever it might be, never underestimate the relationship between you and your son. I think we take it for granted. Fathers, let me just open your eyes to something. Your son will never admit this in his pride. He will never admit it. But to you, you are his greatest hero. He looks up to you, and he wants to be just like you, and he wants nothing more than to make you proud. But in our pride, we may not admit it. Likewise with the father. Sons, let me tell you, your father corrects you and corrects you in love because he's so proud of you, and he wants you to grow up to be better than him. There's a great relationship between the father and the son, but I don't think it's very well communicated, especially not in this passage right here. Now, I went on a trip down to Oklahoma a few years back, and I was gone for over a week. Waiting for me at the airport was my dad. He came to pick me up. I had not seen him in a week, and he opened up his arms and shook my hand. Yeah. We live in the same household, y'all. Listen, the relationship between a father and son is so important, but it's not very well communicated between the two. Absalom does not see his father's face for 2 full years. 3 years if you're counting Geshur as well. Absalom is longing to see the face of his father, David. He just wants to see him. But he can't. So Absalom decides, well, the only way I can see the father is if I go and contact Joab, the commander of the army. Surely he will go to the father. So Absalom sends a message to Joab. He says, go to the father. Go to my father. Go and talk to him. Let him know that I want to see him. But Joab, in his stubbornness, maybe he remembered what Absalom did, says no. And just doesn't respond, doesn't want to come to Absalom, doesn't want anything to do with him. So Absalom sends the message again the second time, go see the father. But Joab would not come to him. Absalom, being frustrated and missing his father, angry, he tells his servants, come again, I've got another plan. Come again. You see Joab's field of barley right next to mine? It's his prized possession. This is the source of his riches. Take yourselves torches of fire and burn it. They burn Joab's entire field, and Joab, maybe looking out the window, sees his field is on fire. Finally, he comes down to Absalom's house and says, you've destroyed the best thing I have. You've taken away the most important thing to me. What do you want? Absalom got Joab's attention. Absalom says, I want to see my father. Go to him. Go see the father. Joab goes to David and they commune, and then finally, Absalom and David are reunited at that time as father and son. I want you to understand the context and the application I'm trying to make here that some of you may have already figured out. The son bids, go see the father. Go see him. There is peace with him. You can be reunited with him. And the son, he sends the same message over and over again, and he warns until finally, how to burn your barley field. In other words, how to take what was most important to you to get your attention. I think sometimes God just wants our attention. And he bids us, go to the Father, go see my Father. But when we rebuke and we refuse in our stubbornness, he burns our barley field and takes away the most important thing till finally has our attention. Now, I understand that most of you think that I am perfect. I want y'all to shut your mouths. But listen, but as a teenager, there were times where I was being stupid, and there were times where I disobeyed my parents. And thankfully, my parents didn't have to go this far. But for illustration purposes, just bear with me. If, for example, teenage AJ decided he didn't want to obey his parents' rules anymore. Mom and Dad, I don't want to abide by your rules. And you can't make me. Ooh, well, now, I mean, before my dad would slap me across the face and go, stupid, 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 he might get my attention. He might say, fine, AJ, you don't have to abide by my rules, but you're grounded. I'm taking your car keys. Whoa, hold on a second there. Kind of narrowing my freedom a little bit. But maybe teenage me decides in my stubbornness, well, you know what? You can take it. I don't need to go anywhere anytime soon anyways. I'm still not going to abide by your rules. Well, then they turn up the heat a little bit more and say, well, fine, then I'm taking your Xbox. Hold on a second. We're ruining lives now. Well, hold on. Teenage me says, well, hold on. You don't know the diamond castle I built on Minecraft. Oh, hold on a second here. You're going to take away something that important to me? Well, fine, you can take it. And in my stubbornness and pride, teenage AJ might say, well, you know what? Fine then, but I'm still not going to abide by your rules. Then they pull out the big guns. I'm taking your phone away. Ooh. Ooh. How am I supposed to contact people? How am I supposed to post reels on Instagram? How am I going to be able to post about things? Well, you're going to take away the most important thing I have. Maybe I finally realize the error of my ways. Finally, I say, all right, Mom, Dad, fine. I'll abide by your rules. Because you have the authority to give all that is good to me, and you have the authority to take it away. And they got my attention. I understand that in certain situations it may differ. Sometimes there's trials that we face in life, but just for example, and I'll let the Holy Spirit lead here. Some people and some Christians might say, well, I can't tithe because I have money problems. Could it be that God has allowed money problems to get your attention because you don't tithe? Maybe the child in school says, well, I have no friends anymore. All my friends are gone, or we've grown past in our relationship. I can't get along with anybody. Could it be that God has stripped you of every fellowship because you don't have fellowship with the Father? What's your attention? Well, why does the preacher preach on my sin every Sunday? Could it be that the Holy Spirit is sending a message to you over and over? It just feels like the preacher is preaching on your sin because he wants your attention. Sometimes God burns our barley field. He gets our attention. I just want to look at three things tonight. And that's it. Said I'm not long-winded. But three things. Thank you. Three things I want to look at tonight. Number one, I see the son's patience. The son's patience. In verse number 28, it says, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Absalom was very patient with Joab. He said he waited 2 full years to see his father. You know, I'm so glad God, in his all mercy and goodness, is patient with us. He's patient with his children. He's patient with the sinner who refuses to accept that he is God. There was an atheist on the street one time, and he was speaking against Christianity, and he had a big crowd gather around, so he finally said, if God is all true and almighty and all-knowing, then may he strike me down dead in the next 60 seconds. And the clock ticked, and everybody went quiet. Everybody waited to see what would happen until finally, click, 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 click. 60 seconds was up, and the man was still alive. The atheist said, "Well, there, see, here I am standing, proof that there is no God." This little old lady Christian just came up from the crowd, pointed her finger at the atheist, and said, "You can't test the patience of an all-loving, almighty, all-good God in 60 seconds. I'm thankful that God is patient with the sinner who refuses to accept that he is God. And he's patient with his children, that he is constantly convicting them and warning them. He's so patient. And then there comes a time where burns our barley field. It gets our attention. The second thing I want us to know, first off, the son's patience. But I also notice the son's message. Look at verse number 29, the son's message. "Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come." Then later on it says, "And he sent again the second time, and he would not come." I like this verse in here. I like how the Bible very much records it in here, because Absalom sends a message to Joab, and it's the same message over and over again. It's consistently the same message. And might I say, God the Son and God the Father have given us the same message for thousands of years. The exact same message consistently. There is nothing new under the sun. Let me say, children, as you learn and as you grow, there is nothing new under the sun. If it goes against Bible, it's not true. Well, I agree with the morals of Christianity, but ... Well, I agree with this, but this part of the Bible, the translation in these other books is what it really says, ... Well, I understand that the Bible says this, but could it be that we ... There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same message over and over again. To the sinner who refuses to accept Christ, refuses to have that authority in his life, it's the same message over and over again. To the Christian who struggles to have peace with God, could it be that God has stripped you of all peace with others and in life because you have no peace with the Father? Burns our barley field, and he gets our attention. And the message is the same message he's been sending for thousands and thousands of years. God says, thou shalt not. Come to the Father, fellowship with him. But then when we don't give him our attention, he burns our barley field. The last thing I want us to notice, number three, we see the son's patience and the son's message, but also the sinner's stubbornness. Look at verse number 29 again. It says, "Therefore," I'm just going to read it again here. It says, "Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come." Understand that the Bible says Joab would not come. You would think commander of an army, he's got a busy schedule. You would think commander of the army of David, nonetheless, he wouldn't be able to have the time to come and speak to Absalom. But the Bible says he would not. I think there are many who can serve God, but would not. We can accept the message that God has sent us over and over and over again, but many will not. And God is constantly convicting the heart of his children, constantly convicting the sinner to come to Christ, to come see the Father, but they would not listen. Now, I have two candles in my office. Given to me by Hope Burke, by the way. $15, great candles, go buy them. But listen, when you light that candle, You know, you light it in a place like this. I was going to bring one with me, but I didn't know if I was allowed to shut off the lights. But at any rate, when you light that candle in a lit room, you know, it really doesn't give off that much light. You don't notice it nearly as much. But when all those lights are turned off, where's your attention go to? Oh, that candle gives off a lot more light when it's dark. The darker the room, the more light it seems to give off. Sometimes in our life, God strips us of every good thing just so that we can focus on Him. Just so that we can see Him. Job was stripped of every good thing, and he was closest to God than ever in the trials where he lost everything. Sometimes God just wants our attention that He is good, that He is all we need. Sometimes God wants to bring our attention to the sin in our life. Sometimes He does. Sometimes God says, I have sent messenger after messenger. I've convicted you. I have sent my pastor to preach. I've sent the preachers. I've convicted you. I've sent the same message. I've been patient with you until finally I have to burn your barley field. And He gets our attention. I'll end with this. There was once a father, a daughter, and a mother. The mother had gotten saved, and she decided she wanted to start going to church more. She gave her life to Christ. But the father would have none of it. Refused to go to church, refused to accept Christ. Well, their daughter, on Sunday mornings, she would always go with the mother to church. The mother always wanted to take the daughter. And so the father, one morning, just told his daughter, he said, well, why don't you just stay here with me? I have the day off work on Sundays. You know, we could have a father and daughter bonding time. You know, we could have that relationship with each other. We can go out and do something. I don't know what we can do, just something fun. But the mother said, honey, listen, I want our daughter to go to church. I want her to get saved. I want her to learn and grow in Christ. And then the father gave her this ultimatum. Honey, you can choose Mama's way, or you can choose my way. Why don't you choose? Well, of course, the daughter chose the father's way. Seemed easy. Seemed like much work. Seemed fun. Next Sunday came around, same ultimatum. She chose Daddy's way, not Mama's way. Pretty soon, it just always ended up that way. Father never accepted Christ, and the daughter never really went to church after that. But there came a day, years later, when the daughter was grown in her adult life, she got into this horrible car wreck. She was rushed to the hospital. Her parents came to her bedside. And as she laid there dying, she said, Daddy, whose way do I choose now? And as she closed her eyes in death, the last word she heard was her dad saying, choose Mama's way! Choose Mama's way! And as she slid off into eternity, the father knelt down on her deathbed and trusted Christ as his Savior right there. Got your attention. The son bids, go to the Father. There is peace with him. There is forgiveness of all sin with him. But when we refuse and refuse, burns your barley field, gets your attention. And I wonder tonight if there's someone here where God just wants your attention. Maybe he has stripped you of all peace and all joy because he just wants your attention, that he is all that you need. Maybe he has stripped you of every physical thing in your life, a job or the income or whatever it might be, just because he wants your attention.